Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
I thank you for this revelation that you're saturating us with. Open our eyes, open our understanding, and open our hearts to receive more in Jesus' name. Now, can you say this after me? Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Help me.
Help me.
To renew my mind.
To renew my mind.
To this revelation.
To this revelation.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We're talking about the power of the cross. Go ahead, open your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The power of the cross. Now, the thing that I want to acknowledge to you, I know that we all know that some of us view it as the power of the cross is that Jesus is no longer on the cross. Well, that is good news. Yes, that is good news. But I want you to understand something, that there would be no resurrection if there was no cross. There would be no ascension to where Jesus is sat on the right hand of the Father if there was no cross. So when we look at this, we're not undermining or dismissing the power of the resurrection. We're not undermining or dismissing the power of the ascension. In fact, they all go together. It's just like seed time and harvest. A lot of people rejoice over the harvest, but there'll be no harvest without a seed. There is the planting of the seed. There is the cultivation of the seed. And then there is the harvest. All of that is the process. So is it with the power of the cross. There are some things that took place on the cross. And my intention and purpose with this teaching is to bring you to a place of fresh appreciation for the cross, so that you'll understand, glory to God, how to step into a measure and level of power you've never understood before or caught before. I said to you earlier in today's service that when I'm teaching and preaching, I teach and preach to me. I'm not trying to impress people. I want my life to be one of victory. I'm reaching for John 10:10 manifestation. That Jesus came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I'm reaching for that. And I'm not stopping. Amen. I'm reaching for, watch this, I'm reaching to live beyond all the struggle, stress, and strain my parents went through. I don't want none of that to touch my life, because I want to take our bloodline to a whole nother level. That's why I teach and preach like I do. And it doesn't make a difference when people are looking to be entertained. I'm not trying to entertain them. I'm trying to live victoriously. Mm-hmm. That's my purpose. I want to live an empowered life. I want to live an equipped life. I want to live an elevated life. Watch this. I want to live an enriched life. I do. That's my desire. And so I'm reaching, even though I know, even right now, that I'm doing more than my parents have ever done. I've impacted and influenced more people than my parents ever did. But I'm still reaching. I'm not satisfied. Amen. Amen. Because there's a word that keeps resonating in my heart, Rashawn, and it's the word more. More. I want more. I want to handle more. I want to possess more. I want to give more. I want to do more. I want to touch more. I want to impact more. I want to influence more. So I'm reaching for more. And when I look at this revelation on the power of the cross, I see some things that I need to renew my mind concerning, that I got to change my way of thinking. And so we're going to look at this because even before I read the scriptures, anytime you're living your Christian life and you're living beneath your privileges in the area of the things that the cross has provided for us, you're living as if the cross did not make a difference. And so you have to build within yourself a fresh appreciation of the cross. Build within yourself a fresh acknowledgement of the cross. Build within yourself a fresh awareness of the power of the cross, and then do like I just had you to do a while ago. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you renew your mind concerning the power of the cross. Help me. Because he's not going to change your mind for you. He's not going to renew your mind for you. And I'm going to tell you this right now, that many people, when they hear the message of the cross, they immediately go to the resurrection. I don't have a problem with that because I am so glad Jesus got up for us. Amen. But let's see what happened on that cross that we're supposed to benefit from, and then let's get the benefits. That's where I am. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this in verse 18. Let's start there. If you have it, say, I have it.
I have.
I'm reading from the King James, as you know. You follow in whatever translation you have. It says this, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Everyone say the power of God.
The power of God.
Look what it says now. Let's, before we continue reading, let's get this now. Come on. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to renew our minds. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Well, that's not us. Then it says, but unto us which are saved. Say, that's me. He says it is the power of God. All right. So if it is the power of God, listen to me, then watch this, dear hearts. Power that's not accessible and activated does us no good. It is the power of God. Now, here's why I need you all to flow with me today. You got the pool. This is what you got to see. Watch this, please. Everyone look at verse 18 and read it with me. Ready? Let's read. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Everyone look up here. When many people read that verse, they're only thinking about, I'm saved from hell. And that's not what the verse means. When you think of salvation, don't just think about going to church. When you think about salvation, don't just think about being saved from hell. Because salvation or being saved is a word that encompasses, watch this, it encompasses your healing, your wholeness, your safety, your preservation, your prosperity, and your security. But see, many times when because we wasn't trained like this growing up in church, and anytime we saw saved, we just looked at it as, I'm saved from hell. I'm not going to hell. And this verse is not talking about that. Thank God that we're saved. Thank God our destiny is that we're not going to hell. But what about on earth? What about life here?
Mm-hmm.
How are we supposed to live here? And he said, look at verse 18 again, the B part. But unto us which are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Come on, say the power of God.
The power of God.
Now listen, this power is not for a moment. I said this Thursday night. This power is not for Good Friday. This power is for a lifetime. But now here's, before we continue reading, here's what I am purposing to catch. I don't know about you, but this is what I want to catch. How does this power of the preaching of the cross affect me now? Lord, I got bills to pay. How does this power of the cross affect me or empower me to be able not just to meet those bills, but eradicate them? How does this power of the cross affect me now to where I don't have to continue struggling with the infirmity in my body? I don't have to deal with this weakness, that I can go from weakness to strength. Or what about in the area of my emotions? Why is it today that with all this revelation, we have more mentally weak and sick Christians than ever before? Why is it that more Christians are depressed now than ever before? And I remember when God led me to write my book on overcoming discouragement, despair, and depression almost 10 years ago. And it looked like many Christians, I remember some Christians who I just sold it into their lives. You know what they did with the book? Put it to the side. When I say put it to the side, I mean almost like in dropping it in file 13. Y'all know what file 13 is? That's a trash can. No, I had to go back and get my book. See, they didn't care that I paid money for that to have it printed. They thought that I was trying to change their theology by showing them steps to overcome discouragement, despair, and depression. And look at what the messages are in Christendom today, teaching people to overcome discouragement, despair, and depression. So this power of the cross from verse 18, I got to see how this affects me. Now, here's my question to you. Since this power, since the preaching of the cross is the power of God, what have you settled for in your life that God says, I don't want you settling for that? What have you been putting up with? Remember the teacher series on no more toleration? Mm-hmm. What have you been tolerating that the power of the cross says, I freed you from that? And you'd be surprised at how many Christians sit in churches all over North America and they don't live in the power of the cross. Mm. And they will argue you down about their salvation. But if you ask them, what are you saved from? Their quick solution or their quick answer is, oh, I'm not going to hell. But no, we're not talking about that. What about your life here on earth? Mm-hmm. Are you living victorious here? Are you living healed here? Are you living in provision here? So now let's keep reading since I got your attention. Watch this. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. In all their smartness, they couldn't come into contact with God. So it says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let's stop right here. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Many in the world call preaching foolishness. So this is what happened. Watch this. Watch what they're doing in the world today. They say, I can be saved. I don't need to go to church. I can be saved. But see, God said it is by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But they're saying now, and see, they don't realize this. This is the wisdom of the world. They're trying to connect to God through the wisdom of the world. And God says, you won't. So they're saying, I don't need to go to church. So now everybody in the world believes that they can do something to help the world without God. So there's no commitment to God, no commitment to the things of God, no commitment to the power of God. Watch this. So that there, now that there is no commitment to the solutions that come from God for a dying world. Now watch this, watch this. Keep a marker there. Flip over to Romans 10. We're going to come back. That's why I'm in a series in this to help you renew your mind. Because you're going to have to change your way of thinking. Okay, look at Romans 10 real quick, and then we're going to go right back to 1 Corinthians 1. You there, Romans 10?
Yes.
Watch this. Verse 14. No, let's start at verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. If you have it, say, I have it.
I have it.
For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall, come on,
be saved.
Be saved. Stop. So people automatically see this as I'm saved from hell. Don't they?
Yeah.
And this means more than that. Because that the Greek word for the word saved is the word sozo. And they have to understand what sozo entails and what it brings you. But you won't come into that understanding through your own knowledge. So watch what God does. Look at the very next verse. Look at the next verse, verse 14. How then shall they call on him, on God, in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear, read, without a preacher? God says they won't come into that knowledge. But they're saying today, I can't come into that knowledge. God says, no, you can't. They're saying, yes, I can. God says, not without a preacher. So God gives revelation to a preacher that enhances me or empowers me, equips me, and elevates me to next level living.
Hallelujah.
And if we're not careful, we will dismiss the process. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 1. So the process is, it was the cross, the resurrection, and the ascension. But I got to understand that all three contain a power that has been made available for me. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So, look at verse 21 again. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Everyone say the power of the cross.
The power of the cross.
He's still referring to that. We preach Christ crucified, or the power of the cross. Unto the Jews, it's a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, it's foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, it's Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So he called the preaching of the power of the cross, he called it the power of God and the wisdom of God. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, let me share with you what I've already brought to you in this teaching. This is our third session in this. And normally on a teaching like this, it takes about the third or the fourth session to really open this can up for everybody to be able to partake from it, to see it, to receive some things. If they'll do what the Bible says, he or she who has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. You have to make sure that you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, or you'll miss it. What is he saying to you? So watch this. The cross, you should already have this in your notes, but I want to remind you of it. The cross speaks of relationship, restoration, redemption, reconciliation, and reigning. R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. The cross speaks of what?
Relationship.
Relationship, come on.
Restoration.
Restoration, come on.
Redemption,
redemption, come on.
Reconciliation.
Reconciliation, and come on.
And
reigning. Now, the cross speaks of relationship. Now, as I said this, many believers today are living as if the cross did not make any difference. And God wants us to be able to distinguish what occurred before the cross from what occurred after the cross, and to understand the difference the cross has made in each one of our lives. That's what we're looking at. Because I want my group, the ones who I am pastor of, to walk in the power of the Christ so that they're what they're receiving in life go to another level. How they're empowered for life goes to another dimension and strength. And then what they're able to acquire or obtain in life can become more far-reaching than they've ever tapped into. Everyone say, I want more.
I want more.
Now, you got the meaning. If you don't want more, don't say nothing. But I want more. I really do. I want more. I want more. So, relationship. The cross speaks of relationship. I painted this picture this past Thursday night, and I want to make sure you all get it today. Everybody knows John 3:16. You know that some people who are not even saved, not even Christians, they know John 3:16? Mm-hmm. Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, John 3:16 reveals to us that God loved the world, didn't it?
Yes.
Now, did the world love him?
No.
Now listen. John 3:16 is one level of relationship that God has with mankind. He loved mankind and moved by sending his son in mankind's life. Mankind didn't do anything for it. That's one level of relationship. But then there's a second or another level of relationship. Look with me at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let me know when you get there by saying I'm there. Come on. Romans chapter 5. What are we looking at? Another relationship that God has with mankind. Okay? But this relationship is with, listen, redeemed man. Or a redeemed woman. So look at this. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Wait a minute. Are y'all listening to me? Mm-hmm. Everyone say the power of the cross.
The power of the cross.
Listen to this. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for me. I couldn't help myself. Look at verse 7. But for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8 is the key. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, everyone, while we were a sinner, we got a move from God and didn't even realize it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's one relationship. But now look at verse 9. Everyone read the first two words.
Much more.
No, now say it like you're excited.
Much more.
Say it like you want something.
Much more.
Say it like God gonna give you something.
Much more.
Look what he says. Now he says, look at verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Everyone say, I got a move of God.
I got a move of God.
But look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So now there's a whole nother level of relationship that God has with the people who are redeemed. And when you're redeemed, Chris, God is saying, I want you to live in a manner of requesting for much more.
My God. My God.
Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. Where is it at? Where is it at? Where is it at? Okay. Watch this. Verse 8. I'm going to read verse 8 from the NIV. Verse 8 from the NIV says this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So on the cross, it was a demonstration of love, and you didn't pray for it. You didn't ask for it. You didn't believe for it. You didn't have faith for it, but God did it. One level of relationship. But now, since it has happened, look at verse 9 again. Much, from the King James says, much more than being now justified. Say, I am now justified.
I am now justified.
Because of the cross, that's when you became justified. Or the word justified means You have been declared right with God. And he says, since you're right with me, I want you to live your life calling for much more. Live your life expecting much more. Because see, when you was a sinner, you got a move from me. So don't just think that you're going to get a move from me now that you are justified. You have a right to moves, plural, from me because I'm in your corner. And I don't want you to live limited. I don't want you to live constrained. I don't want you to, listen, God says, I don't want you to be behind. I don't want you struggling, stressing, or straining. I want you to understand that much more is available.
Amen.
Verse 8 from the NIV again says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Since we have now been justified by his blood. Say, I have been declared right.
I've been declared right.
How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him, through Christ? Now watch this, watch this. How can I look at this to understand more clearly God's, what God wants to do for me through Christ? Look at Romans 8, Romans 8. I'm gonna jump here so y'all can see this real quick so you can catch what I'm talking about. Look at Romans 8 and look at verse 32. Verse 32. You ready?
Yes.
Let's read together. Come on, read. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Somebody shout much more.
Much more.
That verse says, he didn't spare Jesus, but delivered Jesus up for us all. How shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things? He doesn't want me to live a limited life. He doesn't want me to live a defeated life. He doesn't want me to live, glory to God, a life of struggle. He doesn't want me to live a life where I don't know how to tap into and access the power that's been made available to me because I am now declared right. I'm justified. So there is a perception of the cross that we must catch. Number one, we must catch the perception of knowing the value of the cross. We must catch the perception of knowing the value of the cross. Yes, he dealt with my sin. Oh, I give God praise. Yes, he dealt with my condemnation, my guilt, my inferiority, my insecurity, everything that was wrong with me, everything that came against me and that stated that I should not get anything from God and I should not be blessed by God. He nailed all of that to his cross. Thank God for that. I got to catch the perception of knowing the value of the cross. Two, I must catch the perception of knowing the victory of the cross. I must catch the perception of knowing the victory of the cross. And then three, I must catch the perception of knowing, watch this, dear hearts, the virtue of the cross. What do you mean, Pastor Mark, the virtue of the cross? The virtue of the cross is that what was done for me on the cross gave birth to a courageousness in me to boldly go where God says I have a right to go, where God says I have a right to be, where God says I have a right to access and tap into. That courageousness that the cross causes in your heart. Put this down in your notes. You should have wrote it the first time I introduced this, but if in case you didn't, the secret of reigning in life. And remember, when we're talking about reigning, we're not saying R-A-I-N. We're talking about, come on, R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G. The secret of reigning in life lies with receiving everything that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. The secret of reigning in life lies with receiving everything, say everything,
everything,
that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. The secret of reigning in life lies with receiving everything that Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. So, because of the cross, what Jesus made available to me and what Jesus has made accessible for me, it's mine now. So watch this. Jesus says, stop trying to get what I have already died for you to have. Stop trying to get what I have already died for you to have. I died for you to have it, and yet you're not living like I did that. So now you're trying to get it, thinking that your effort and your attempts are going to bring you to a better place than what I died for you to have. So we have to get to the place where we filter our lives through the cross. All prophecies that you receive today must be filtered through the cross. Don't allow anyone to come to you and tell you that something negative has happened to you or something negative is going to happen to you because of your sins. No, no, it can't because of the cross. So don't come to me with one of those doom prophecies that's trying to scare me. No, because of the cross, Jesus died for me to have access to something I couldn't get to on my own. All circumstances that you face in life must be filtered through the cross. Don't accept any thought that says that God allows something terrible to happen to you because it was his will. No, because of the cross. Somebody shout, because of the cross. Jesus took it so you wouldn't have to. Jesus went through it so that you and I wouldn't have to. Come on, come on. Look at Isaiah 53. I was going to kind of wait till this coming Thursday to take you here, but let's go there now. Isaiah 53. Watch this. Verse 1, I'm going to go ahead and read for time's sake. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up, talking about Jesus, before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Verse 3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Everyone say, he carried sorrow for me.
He carried sorrow for me.
So that I don't have to live in sorrow now. See, I didn't say bad things won't happen. When something happens, I don't have to give in to sorrow because he carried it for me. Look at this. Look at this. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Everyone say, he was wounded. So I don't have to live wounded. You got to get me. You got to get it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Everyone say,
he was bruised.
So that I don't have to accept a bruised life. You got to get this.
Yes, hallelujah.
I remember years ago, God told me, he said, Mark, he says, with my children, there are some people I never wanted them to meet on earth. But because of their disobedience, they brought this person into their life, which caused them hurt. And I had to bring somebody else to bring the healing. He said, I never wanted them to meet that person. But through their stubbornness and disobedience, they met that person. allowed that person into their life, and that person hurt them and wounded them, and that was never my will for them. So now I got to bring the healing because my child would not listen to me, Jesus. You do not have to accept a bruised life. You do not have to accept a wounded life. You don't have to accept a hurt life. You don't have to accept a devastated or broken-hearted life. Why? Because of the power of the cross. Amen. Look what it says. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, or for our peace, was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was punished, so now I don't have to live in expectation of punishment. God is not mad at me. God is not mad at you. Why? Because of the cross. Now, back up. Look at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of man. Listen. Because of that, you don't have to live in fear of being despised. When you catch the revelation of the power of the cross, you will stop living trying to prove something to somebody else. You'll stop living trying to win their approval, win their acceptance. You'll understand. Because of the power of the cross, I know who I am. I'm a child of God. Everyone say, I'm a child of God.
I'm a child of God.
Say it again. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God,
I'm a child of God
who's loved by God.
I'm
a child of God,
and God is with me at all times.
Say, I'm a child of God, and God is for me.
And if God be for me,
who can be against me? See, I don't have to live in feeling despised or rejected. No. Their rejection simply means they're not supposed to be a part of my destiny track right now. Be healed, y'all. Be healed. Be healed. And live victoriously.
Hallelujah.
Now, when I'm trying to do something, this is different. Because what God has put in my heart to do, when there's a closed door, I don't accept that because I know that for every no, my yes is out there. Mm-hmm. I remember God told me years ago, he said, Mark, when you encounter a closed door, that does not mean I say go the other way. I want you to use your faith and knock the door down. Mm-hmm. You don't accept no as your finality. You understand that some no's is a lie from the adversary that you have to overcome. How do you overcome it? Stop attaching your identity to an outcome of a thing. What happens does not define who I am. Their acceptance or their denial doesn't define who I am. I know who I am. I'm just giving them an opportunity to partner with me in my journey. Can you see the difference? Let's close this out today. So, all circumstances that you face must be filtered through the cross. Don't accept that God has allowed something terrible to happen to you because that was his will. Jesus took it so you wouldn't have to. Listen, whenever you're faced with difficult circumstances or distasteful moments in life, keep believing in God's love for you that was demonstrated on the cross, and God will cause whatever the devil meant for evil to be turned around for good and to his glory. Let's go back to Romans 5 one more time, and that's where we'll end. Watch this. Because you have to ask yourself, which relationship are you having with God? Are you relating to God from the place of what Jesus has already done for you? Or are you relating to God from a place where you're trying to win his approval and his acceptance? Which relationship are you having with God? Are you relating to God from a place of justification? Or are you relating to God from a place of guilt and condemnation? You feel bad because of wrong choices you made. You feel bad because you don't think that you're good enough or that you have enough or that you're qualified enough. And you need God to come through. Which relationship are you having with God? When you have this relationship with God from the place of what Jesus has already done for me, you will be delivered from self-effort. I don't have to win God's approval. I already got it. I don't have to win God's acceptance. He already accepts me. The moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I stepped into God's acceptance and his approval. He's on my side. Remember my seven things? I forgot I was going to have a little man Sam today. God loves me. God is for me. God is with me. God is on my side. God will never leave me nor forsake me. I am important and valuable to the work of God. And then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Which relationship are you having with God? That's the question you have to answer. I'm closing out with Romans 5. Right? You there? Okay. Watch this. Watch this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Again, from the King James now. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ, I'm at verse 6. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So since I am no longer a sinner, and I said this to you before, you are not a sinner saved by grace. Because once you get saved by grace, you're no longer a sinner. So you're a sinner, once you get saved by grace, now I am the redeemed. I am justified, I am righteous. So I have to let go of the sin tags. Oh, Pastor Mark, are you saying that we never sin? That's not what I said. I said you no longer identify with sin, now you identify with his righteousness. You identify with his justification. He justified you. You didn't justify yourself. It was this justification took place through his blood because of the power of the cross. He justified me. Well, then, Pastor Mark, what happens when I do mess up? Why are you looking to mess up? But the Bible covered that. The Bible says, and we have an advocate with the Father. So Jesus is my advocate that when I do mess up, when I do sin, when I do make the wrong choice, Jesus in his throne room presence covers me and watch this, removes the guilt and condemnation that's supposed to come on me so that now I can still stand in God's presence as if I have never sinned. The Bible called all of this that I'm sharing with you a mystery. Yes. It is a divine mystery. And that's why when somebody tries to tell you, I can go to church. I mean, I can be saved and not go to church. What they're thinking is that Christianity is like every other religion. They think that if I can do some good works, I'm pleasing God. They think as long as I'm not hurting nobody else, I'm pleasing God. And they don't understand. Christianity is the only, and it's not a religion, it's a relationship. It's the only relationship where a God, where the God provides you access in spite of your flaws, your faults, and your failures through the shedding of his own blood. And he says, I invite you. I invite you in. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Verse 9, much more then. Everyone say much more.
Much more.
Much more, much more. Everyone say, I'm getting ready to live.
A much more life.
Yeah, I'm expecting much more. I'm going to believe for much more. I'm going to call for much more. I'm going to thank God. I'm going to begin thanking God that much more is happening to me. Instead of expecting the worst, listen, instead of expecting bad things to happen, instead of expecting my plan not to work out, I'm going to expect much more to take place for me. Because of the power of the cross.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to stop trying to live life my own way. I'm going to live his divine way.
Amen.
And so, it says in verse 9, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Look at verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his sons. Come on, say the power of the cross.
The power of the cross.
Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Let's read this one more time. This is why I read Romans 8:32 to you. Look at it one more time. For if when we were enemies. When we were what?
Enemies.
When we were what?
Enemies.
Now listen to me, listen to me. The Bible says you were an enemy. Now because you've accepted Christ, you are no longer an enemy. So stop thinking that God won't move for you. No, no, you didn't get it. See, look what it says. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. When I was an enemy, I got a move from God, and I didn't even ask for it. How much more will I get a move from God when I do ask for it? For if when we were enemies, we were what? Reconciled to God. Now, what does reconciled mean? I was brought into oneness with God. God in me, and I'm in him. He remitted my sins. Say remit.
Remit.
I'm ending with this. I'm ending. Listen, this is remit. Anybody ever tried to clean up a stain with some Clorox or Ajax?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember Ajax?
Mm-hmm.
That's old school Ajax.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it took a lot of scrubbing. And you clean the stain. Here's the difference between remission or remit and covering from the Old Testament. The blood of bulls and goats covered their sins in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Jesus' blood remitted our sin. In other words, when you cover something, the sin is still there, and I put this paper on top. The paper is covering it, my hand. But that's the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the sin is there, and Jesus' blood doesn't cover it. He totally does away with it to where you can't even find what it looked like.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You can't even find out what it looks like. So that's why he doesn't want you to continue identifying with sin, because you've been reconciled to God.
Thank you.
You've been remitted. So listen, listen. Here's what I want you to leave here thinking. I will no longer accept losing in life. Because I have been reconciled to a winner.
That's good. Hallelujah.
My life, results in my life, is not based upon just what I do.
Mm-hmm.
It's based upon what Jesus has done for me.
Yes.
The power of the cross.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to leave here no longer accepting losing in life. So you got to change your mind now.
Yeah.
You're going to have to stop thinking that you're losing. Stop thinking that you're going to come up short. Stop thinking that I'm not going to get the money. It's not going to work out for me. No, you're going to stop that. Renew your mind. Well, look how tough it is. Okay? I'm not saying it's not tough, but look how great he is. Mm-hmm. We're going to renew our mind and start thinking much more. That's why in my other book, I wrote the book, God is able to give you much more than this. Because he was teaching me, Mark, I want you to start thinking much more. I would love to tell you that I was a good student, but I wasn't. I wasn't, because sometimes Cheryl had to correct me on what I said. God had to correct me on how I thought and how I acted, because I allowed what was happening to me in life to affect what I was believing. And he had me write the book because he wanted me to put it down on paper, not just for others to read, but so that I could read it to myself. Mark, I'm able to give you much more than this. Start thinking much more, much more, much more. And that's what I want you to leave here thinking. Because of the power of the Christ, because of the power of the cross, leave here thinking, I will now live a much more life. Come on, stand on your feet. Stand on your feet. You receive this today?
Yes.
Give God some praise in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Come on, give him some praise. Give him some praise. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this word today. Now, here's where we are, Daddy. I'm asking you to create within us the perception of knowing the value of the cross. Will you just open our minds to capturing the value of the cross and then cause us to catch the perception of knowing the victory, the full victory of the cross? Lord, we don't want to live beneath our privileges. We don't want to live in toleration. We don't want to live putting up with stuff in our lives that Jesus died and said we don't have to put up with anymore. We need your help. We need your assistance. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Bring us to quick understanding is my prayer in the name of Jesus. We want to know the value of the cross. We want to know the victory of the cross. And then we want to catch the courage that comes from the virtue of the cross. We want to boldly go in life where, Father God, you have given us access and permission to go. Help us to no longer settle for what's going on in our current life, present life. But we can know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, you've already empowered us, you've equipped us, and you've elevated us to rise above the struggle. I speak over these, your people, those connected on a faith call and those here physically, that they will begin living a much more life. Give them a much more mentality. Give them a much more language to speak. Help them with that type of mindset is my prayer.
Yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. Now repeat this after me. Say, Heavenly Father,
I repent
of any choices that I've made
that
were against your will.
I repent
for doing things in life
that you didn't want me to do.
And for all the times I disobeyed you.
I put it all under the blood of Jesus.
Jesus,
I give you permission
to come into my heart,
govern my life,
cause me to never be the same again.
Help me to walk out my destiny.
And I thank you for all you did for me
on the cross.
I believe I receive
the fullness of the power of the cross
in Jesus' name.
And my life will never be the same again.
I renounce
everything
Satan got me to do.
I renounce
Every word.
Every word.
Satan influenced me to speak.
I renounce.
Every action. That Satan inspired me to carry out.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.